We're a couple of Sundays away. We went up 2 weeks ago to my nephew's wedding on a Saturday up an hour north of Twin Cities. And I know that you were in very capable hands here. I had the honor of hearing Kay Burkhart a week and a half ago, Wednesday night, give the message on the beautiful words of Jesus, "Come to me, all that labor and heavy laden." And her natural way with comparing the horses and calling the horse to come and how it turns away. I remember her using that illustration. And then last week, of course, Pastor Sandy Soy. And what a gem she has been for this congregation from its very start. Last week and this week are continuation into some of the parables of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Of course, last week, for those that weren't here, the text was the sowing of a seed, the various types of soil. The seed fell on some of the good soil, some in the hardened path, some in the among the thorns and rocks, etc. And how the good seed grew up and the abundant harvest that came from it. And of course, today, we just now read the parable of the sower of the seed and the weeds that were intermingled with them. And when I hear this parable, I'm drawn back to something that many years ago we were living in Albert Lea at the time, the church. I was driving home from church one day to our acreage, and I'd driven by this field many, many times, and I just happened to look over, and I thought, you know, that corn looks pretty good. And then I realized something wasn't quite right about it. It was actually a bean field. And the corn had just been, the voluntary plants had just been let go. And what an illustration that is letting things go. I like to garden in a very unprofessional, casual way, enough to raise some good red tomatoes to help supply the neighbors and ourselves, and a few pumpkins for the grandkids. But I've been notorious for, y'all get at it, I got to get up those weeds, and I think I know where those weeds came from that Paula was handing out this morning. Weeds are... It was brought up at our tech study the other morning by one of the farmers in our congregation that you don't have to do anything. Just plow a strip of ground, and you think the soil is dormant, and it is for a short time, and the weeds come, and they come with a vengeance. I put on some composted manure in my garden early this year, and I thought I'm going to really get some tomatoes and pumpkins this year, and waters came and kind of let it go, and I tell you what, it was some nice looking soil, but the weeds have come with a vengeance, and I haven't kept up with them. They aren't taller than tomatoes, don't get me wrong, but it's just such a good illustration that Jesus uses here. But it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle to the workers of this landowner's property. Where do these weeds come from? I mean, anyone who's gardened or had a yard or farm knows where weeds come from. They come from everywhere. They're blown, they're carried in the wind, they lie dormant for years in the soil. You turn the soil over and bingo, there they are. You don't necessarily have to have. But for sake of illustration, Jesus tells us in our text this morning, an enemy has done this. Enemy has done this. Weeds and wheat. Jesus has begun and did last week. We're in a series of seven parables in the Gospel of Matthew here. Four of them are told to the public, and three of them are told in private. The story this morning is that it's a little bit of a hybrid because Jesus begins with the multitudes hearing this illustration about the weeds and the wheat. And then the second half, he goes into a house and he gives the explanation and the meaning. I came across a little something. I want to share just a few sentences from a commentary because I thought this was a really interesting insight here. It's a commentary from about 1948. He writes, "Both Matthew and Mark agree that Jesus did not begin to teach regularly in parables until the opposition to his teaching had developed. And the people under the influence of the Pharisees and scribes had begun to harden themselves against his influence and to criticize his teaching. One of the purposes of his teaching in parables is to conceal his teaching from the unfit as a punishment for their willful blindness and spiritual unreceptiveness. But the parables also serve to reveal the truth in suggestive and stimulating forms to those who are fit They arrested the attention, they remain in the memory, and they do. These stories stay in our mind, don't they? And they could not fail in a reflective and devout mind to unfold gradually somewhat of their meaning. The parables stay in our mind, and as you go through life, and maybe you have these reminders or incidents that come up, and you're drawn back to one of the parables of Jesus, and something that Jesus said, suddenly it unfolds. It makes a little more sense. You see it play out in life, just as Jesus told his disciples 2 millennia ago. Well, today's parable about weeds and wheat is really a parable that is of common knowledge. Virtually every one of us in here has had experience with weeds. And to some degree, growing grain or crops or tomatoes or whatever it might be, or flowers even, versus weeds. Weeds are a perennial and universal problem. They're well known to many here in our congregation. And anyone who's worked with flowers or tomatoes or any kind of plants knows the danger of cultivating weeds around tender plants. Now, Jesus tells in the parable that while men were sleeping, people were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed the seed. And who is that enemy? And one of the commentators suggested perhaps church leaders. Church leaders, lazy, asleep at the switch, indifferent, comfortable, forgetting their purpose, not proclaiming the word, doing everything else, involved in every kind of cause, political and otherwise, but not doing the central thing, proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins, the gospel. And while that isn't happening, an enemy comes in and sows all kinds of seeds, all kinds of lookalikes. One of the commentators spoke about a common weed in the Middle East that looks so similar to wheat, you cannot tell the difference until they come to the time of harvest and the full head has developed. People are sleeping, and an enemy sowed these tares or weeds among the wheat. And they look an awful lot alike. And the land workers are left scratching their heads wondering, where did this come from? How can this be? Believe it or not, this discussion about this parable came up a little bit in a local eating establishment the other morning. One of the regular patrons said to me, he said, you know something that... You want to play a trick on somebody? We used to do. He happens to own a body shop, this person. So he's been around cars and mechanics his whole life. He said, you want to have fun with a young mechanic or a new guy on the job? He's got an engine or a car all torn apart. And you walk by, and he's got a bucket. He puts the bolts and pieces in. You walk by and just drop in a handful of extra bolts. And he'll put that engine together and he'll be left wondering, where did these come from? Now what do I do with these? And if you really want to test that guy, ask him, what did you do with those extra bolts? Oh, there weren't any. You'll find out about integrity, won't you? Big hurry. But you can imagine the frustration and the confusion. Where did these come from? They're puzzled by this, and they ask their master, of course, shall we gather the weeds? There's a quick solution. Let's go out there and just grab them out of there right now. But the master, the householder, is wise in his years. No. Lest in gathering, you root up the wheat along with them. You're going to do as much collateral damage. Let them be. Let them grow. And in time, we'll deal with them. We'll separate them. I was reminded, maybe there's a parallel, maybe not, but of the incident where James and John at one particular time, Jesus is in the Gospel of Luke, he's passing his way through to Jerusalem. He's got his mind set to go to Jerusalem. It's his journey to the cross. And they pass by a Samaritan village, and the Samaritan village will have nothing to do with Jesus. They don't want him to enter. Keep your distance. Stay out. James and John, you know, these two sons of thunder, these zealots, they ask the Lord, Lord, do you want us to bid fire to come down from heaven and consume them? They want a quick solution, a retribution. And Jesus forbid them. Remember that? He who is not against you is for you, he said. The weeds and the wheat are to be allowed to grow together. When the householder forbids pulling the weeds, he has perhaps a couple of things in mind. Number one, not now. Now is not the time to deal with it. It will be dealt with later. And the same thing happens in the church. And Jesus is really speaking about the church. And when commentators said this is a parable for the early church, there are believers, there are non-believers, there are Christians, there were false Christians in the church in the early centuries, just as there are now. And something that someone said to me many, many years ago in my younger days, my training days, said to me, not every voice that speaks in the church is the voice of Jesus Christ. And I thought that's a good thing to keep in mind. And Paul tells the early listeners of his letters to test the spirits, to be certain they're true. And from this parable, I've decided Jesus is right. Let the weeds go. Let them grow along with the tomatoes. That's just fine. You can decide again what to do with them. But he has two things in mind that will be dealt with later. And the second thing is, it's not your business. It's not your business to decide who is who. And to be removing people who you think do not belong, are not the true believers, are not the true Christians. God alone will do the judging, Jesus is saying in effect. And that's a reminder to all of us. It's a reminder to all of us. Even as we witness and tell others about Jesus, sometimes we develop a mindset, well, let's not waste our time with that person or those people. No, no. Everyone is deemed worthy to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus, to hear of his love and his mercy, his forgiveness. It's a gift for all people, to all who received him. He gives power to become children of God. God alone will do the judging and separate, as the scriptures tell us, the sheep from the goats. Let the weeds grow along with the wheat. It's not for us to decide who is who. Let them grow together. For the hope is that those who are not believers, those who are false in their faith or their testimony, will in time hear the word and come to faith and repentance in Christ. Weeds and the wheat, a very practical parable that even in our time we can understand, not just an agrarian setting like Jesus spoke in, but in our time. And what a message it is for us to continue to proclaim Christ crucified, risen from the dead, for the forgiveness of sins to any and all who will believe, who will repent, and come to faith in him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of God pass us all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord.